Welcome to the Revolution Church Sermon of the Week.
Sometimes when we get to the sermon, if we get to the sermon, there's been Sundays where we don't. It feels like God's been speaking so much and so often, and sometimes so specific throughout the worship. We get to the sermon, I'm like, what can I add? You know, what more is there, God, that you want to say today that you haven't already said? Because there's been some people you've touched, there's been ministry done, and it's just such a blessing and such a joy to be in the presence of God, where God is moving, and he has words, and sometimes his words are very specific. And you just know that he wants to come and bless his people and just release his presence into their lives. And it's, yeah, to God be the glory. The time of worship that we have together before we hear the word or hear the sermon is not just a precursor. That is why we come together, is to worship God and be with him. And I think he's just been blessing that. And Lord, we thank you for your presence today. We thank you for the words that have come. We just recognize that you are the King. That you are the Lord, that you are our Lord, and we bow our knee to you this morning, God. And we say, once again, God, would your kingdom come, and would your perfect will be done. We pray for our children down below, that they would be blessed today. We pray for their teachers, you give them wisdom, that they would touch those kids where only you can, Lord. And we pray for revelation, for the youngest to the oldest of those kids that are down there. We pray for revelation of God this morning. And for each of us up here, Father, we look into your word today, and we are hungry to be challenged, God, and we're hungry to be changed. We desire to be changed by your word, because that's what you promise, and that's what you desire. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So how many folks here watch the news from time to time, or read the newspaper? Facebook? Internet? Yeah, what's a newspaper? I see them on the bus sometimes. They're always handing out those rags. And sometimes I sit beside someone who's reading them, and you flip through the pages, or they're flipping through the pages, and I'm kind of, you know, reading along because I have nothing else to do, but people watch and read other people's newspapers. And it's kind of tough sometimes these days. If you're really into news, or if you're really into world events, especially as a Christian. You know, I was standing in the SkyTrain the other day waiting through 3 minutes. You have to wait. And they have a monitor there. And the monitors are just flashing through news headlines with little pictures. And it was just sad story, after world event, after all of these things where people in power are falling or people are rising up against authority. And there's just all these sadness. There's fires going on here and there, people losing their homes. And you just look out sometimes as a Christian. I do. And I just say, Lord, it seems kind of bleak. You know, it seems kind of bleak when I'm looking out. And it seems like there's just a lot to do for the church. A lot of things that we need to get involved in. We need to do. We need to go help these people. We need to help this world. But it doesn't seem to be getting better. Am I alone? Not to bring us down after that time of worship, but just sometimes it's good to be real about how we're feeling when we look out on the earth and when we look out on our world. And I think if we're feeling that right now as a church, especially with the Great Commission we've been given, where Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what he told the early church to do. And that call is the same for us, right? So it's good for us to be aware of what's going on in the world, but it's also good for us to be aware of what God has said. And they knew that in the early church. They knew that as well. They looked out at the same world. They looked out at the same people, humans, who were bound with sin, who were bound in sin, and who were committing horrendous acts. They looked out in a world that had forest fires and devastations and these kind of things. And Jesus said, go into all the world and create disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I just wonder what those early Christians must have felt like when Jesus said that. And here they are looking out, and they go, Jesus, you've been with us for 3 years, and there's just a few of us here. Like, you're telling us now to go out? I mean, you've been here, God himself, and we've now seen you risen from the dead. You were here for 3 years with us. and there's just 12 of us sitting around a table with you. And you expect us to go out and impact this world for you? You expect us to go out and make disciples of all nations? You made disciples of one nation, right? And just a few of us, just a handful, right? It looked pretty bleak to them too, I'm sure. And Jesus knew this. He knew it's an impossible task. He said to the early disciples to do this, to fulfill the Great Commission. But before you go out, just wait in Jerusalem. Wait until I've ascended to heaven, and then you will be given the Holy Spirit. You will be given the Holy Spirit. Thank you. You shall receive the promised Holy Spirit. And when he comes, what do we see? We see now they went. The church was dispersed. The fire fell. And the book of Acts, from that point on, was filled with stories of people who were led by God. People who were now filled with the Holy Spirit and led by the Spirit of God and just walked into situations where God's power stepped in and it was released and cities were changed, people were saved, whole regions were opened up for the gospel, and the kingdom of God and the church just exploded. Because that's what he was talking about, is the people who are filled with the power of God and able to go out and impact their world. But they weren't able to do it without him. They weren't able to do it without the Holy Spirit. They couldn't do it, and he knew that. It's impossible. It's impossible without the direction of the Holy Spirit. We see Peter early in Acts. We see him get up under the direction of the Holy Spirit, preach to a crowd, and 3,000 people were saved. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus did promise when he was here on earth that they would do greater things than he did. And we see that almost right away when the Holy Spirit was poured out. Paul, as he went around on his missionary journeys, he was led by the Spirit. He didn't go here or there without God telling him and directing him on where to go. And we see those big stories like that in Acts, throughout Acts. And we also see some of the micro stories. We see Philip with the Ethiopian in Acts 8. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south, take this road over here, take that south road from Jerusalem to Gaza. I just want you to do that." So what did Philip do? He got up and he went. And then it said, as Philip was walking along the road, the Spirit told Philip, "Go over to that chariot and just stay near it." So Philip went over to the chariot and just stayed near the chariot. And we know the rest of the story. He heard the Ethiopian reading from Isaiah. He said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" The Ethiopian said, "I don't understand it unless someone teaches me." Philip taught him, and then he was saved, baptized. And then Philip, by the power of the Holy Spirit, disappeared. And it's just a beautiful story of someone in the micro who just listens to God and does what he says. And the power of God is released. So we see throughout Acts, we see men and women who were just simply directed by the Holy Spirit. Whether it's a big act, like Peter getting up and preaching to a crowd, or whether it's a small act, like Philip sitting in his drawing room one day, or sitting in his living room reading a book, the Holy Spirit comes and says, or the angel of the Lord comes and says, "Philip, just go walk along that road." And Philip just gets up and does it. Obedience. Our text for today, in how we can apply this and the stories we see in Acts, how can we apply that to our lives? How can we walk as these men and women walked in the book of Acts and in the early church? The text I'd like you to turn to this morning is from John 3, verse 8. And that's the question I often ask when even Dana and I are looking into a lot of the pro-life news that's going on around the world and these pro-life issues. And there's big news going on in the world, big news going on in the States. And then we sometimes look at our country and look for news and it's just nothing. You know, it's less than nothing. And there's not a lot going on. We ask God, like, "God, what's our role in this?" You know, we can go out and we can do so much. And there's so much we can get involved in. But what's God say in that situation? What's your path for us? What's the big act? What's the small act, God? But it has to be you. So John 3, verse 8 is Jesus. He's talking with Nicodemus here. And Nicodemus is a teacher and a Pharisee. But he has a lot of questions for Jesus. Jesus is answering him and conversing. And he says during his conversation, he says, "The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. And so it is with everyone born of the Spirit. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. And we're going to look into this verse and try to pull out a few keys for us. Even as we look at the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, and kind of the power they walked in. And I believe that that same power is available to us today to walk in and to see miracles, signs, and wonders follow us as we go. So the first part of this verse is the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound. And we see the same sentence, the same kind of idea mentioned by Jesus in John 6, where he says, I did not come to do my own will. I didn't come to earth from heaven to do my own will, but only to do the will of my Father in heaven. That was his sole desire, was to do the will of his Father. In John 12:49, Jesus says, the words I share with you are the words I heard from my Father. I heard God tell me something, and I went and I spoke it. Simple obedience is what Jesus walked into, the words that were spoken to him by his Father. As God directed him, so he went. And he says the same thing to us. John 10 says, my sheep hear my voice. And that's a whole different sermon. But if you struggle to hear the voice of God, you can hear the voice of God. You can hear God's voice. Jesus promises it. He said, my sheep hear my voice. Sometimes we're not listening. Or sometimes we're not listening the right way. But you can hear God's voice. And that's his desire for us. It's just like we see Jesus walk. When he said, I just do what I see my Father doing. I just speak what I hear my Father saying. That's his desire for us to walk like. Whatever God has in mind is what Jesus wanted to do. The wind blows wherever it pleases. And you hear its sound. Sometimes when we gather together in worship, we don't know what it's going to look like. We don't know what our meeting's going to look like, or on Wednesday night. We have a bit of an idea sometimes if God gives it to us, but sometimes we just don't know. May God's will be done. And really, we approach meetings together with open hands and say, God, just have your will. Have your way. May your will be done. We just want to hear from you and go with where you're going. It's almost like a leaf on the wind. As the wind goes, and sometimes you watch this, especially when the fall comes and the leaves start to fall off the trees, you see winds come and take it. And I remember growing up on the farm, we used to see the wind sometimes come. You could almost see it coming across the field. If it was totally calm, you could see the wind coming. And it just kind of came and it swept up some of the leaves that were on the ground and just kind of tossed them around. And that's the picture I get when I read that verse. It's just like a leaf tossed in the wind. As the wind directs it, so it goes. And that's what Jesus lived like. As the Father directed him, so he went. And that's God's desire for us, is to be directed just like that. So as we go along through these verses, I'm going to share a couple of stories, a couple of testimonies as well, of people who were just directed by God. And the first one is from a guy named Graham Cook. He tells a story of a time when he went into a supermarket one day to buy some cheese. He went up to the deli counter, and as he's approaching, he sees a lady behind it. And God says to him, this lady doesn't know me, but last night she prayed to a God she doesn't even know exists, because she's desperate. She's got a daughter she hasn't seen in 4 years. They've had a falling out. Her daughter has left home, and all she knows is that her daughter is in London somewhere. She doesn't know if she's dead or alive, selling drugs, or into prostitution. And last night she got down and said, God, if there is a God, bring my daughter home. The man goes up to the lady, and of course, the lady's there to serve. So she says, can I help you? And he says, well, before you do, I'd like you to know that I'm a Christian. This may not mean anything to you, but God told me last night that you prayed to a God you're not even sure exists, because you've got a daughter you haven't seen for 4 years. She starts to cry. As he's talking to her, God gives him another word. And so he says, listen, this week, on Wednesday at 2:00 in the afternoon, your daughter will call you. The lady was so touched because of the power of that prophetic word and that word of knowledge. After all, she thought, how could anybody know what I did in the privacy of my own home last night? She went home, and after rearranging her schedule, she made herself a cup of tea, and she sat down on her couch and waited. At exactly the time the man had said, the phone rang, and it was her daughter from London. According to him, both the lady and her daughter are part of the kingdom of God today. Both were transformed by the power of God. After the mother told her daughter what had happened, the daughter received the Lord. Then the daughter tells her side of the story. She was walking down the street in London, totally oblivious to anything but herself, and she passes by a phone booth. In her mind, spontaneously arises this overwhelming urge to call her mother. So she walks in, picks up the phone, and calls. Obviously, the Spirit of God came on that girl at the right time and placed within her the desire to contact her mom. I love that story. I love that story, and that's, it's just such a picture of this verse. Someone's out in the supermarket just to buy cheese, which is not what I go to the supermarket for, is just to buy cheese, but he does. And he went there, and God just spoke into his heart. He gave him a word for somebody. He said, this is a lady for you to talk to, this is what to say. And in simple obedience, we see at least two people impacted for eternity because God's power entered the situation. Another testimony here is of a guy named Smith Wigglesworth. Many of you know him. He was a healing evangelist in the early 1900s. And it says that once when he was in London, he was called to the house of some friends, and they said, oh, God sent you here. How much we need you. They sent a wire to a place where there was a young man, 26 years old, who'd been in bed for 18 years. His body was so much bigger than an ordinary body because of inactivity. He was in the same bed for 18 years. And his legs were like a child's. Instead of bone, there was gristle. He had never been able to dress himself. When they got the wire, the father dressed him, and he was sitting in a chair. And Smith Wigglesworth said, I felt it was one of the opportunities of my life. I said to this young man, what's your greatest desire of your heart? Oh, he said, that I might be filled with the Holy Ghost. So I put my hands upon him and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Instantly, he became drunk with the Spirit and fell off the chair like a big bag of potatoes. I saw what God could do with a helpless person. First, his head began shaking terrifically, then his back began moving very fast, and then his legs, just like being in a battery. Then he spoke clearly in tongues, and we wept and praised the Lord's. His legs were still as they had been, by all appearances. I looked at the boy, and there was absolutely no help for his legs. I turned to the Lord, and I said, Lord, tell me what to do. And he did. He said, command him to walk in my name. And this is where I missed it. I looked at his conditions, and I got the Father to help lift him up to see if his legs had strength. We did our best, but he and I together could not move him. Then the Lord showed me my mistake, and I said, God, forgive me. I got right down, and I repented. And I said to the Lord, please tell me again. God is so good. He never leaves us to ourselves. Again, he said to me, command him to walk in my name. So I shouted, arise and walk in the name of Jesus. Did he do it? No. I declare he never walked. He was lifted up by the power of God in a moment and he ran. The door was wide open. He ran out across the road into a field where he ran up and down and came back. Oh, it was such a miracle. I share that story to encourage us. These men, Graham Cook, Smith Wigglesworth, are just men, just like us. They were simply obedient to the word of God. God said, command it in my name. Smith was like, oh, I don't know about that. Let's just kind of prop you up and see what God already did. But God said, no, do what I said. And we see the power of God released in such a magnificent way. And I'll lend that book out when I'm done reading it. And it's full of stories of the power of God being released in people's lives through Christians who just walk in obedience. Who just walk in obedience. Simple obedience. Sometimes we make things quite complicated in Christianity. We add a lot around to it. We get saved by grace alone, through repentance, through the blood of Jesus. And then once we get in, sometimes it becomes all these other things. But God desires us to be, to continue to walk with the same faith, to continue to walk knowing that it's all in Him, and just to listen to what He says and go do it. Simply to be like just a leaf on the wind. As God directs, you go. In the big decisions and in the small decisions. That's His desire for us. The second part of that verse says, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear it sound, but you don't know where it's coming or where it's going. You hear it sound, but you don't know where it's coming or where it's going. Sometimes that's where I miss it, when God gives a word. Sometimes I feel a nudge or a prompting from the Holy Spirit and my spirit, and then my head gets involved. Right? God will say something like, here's something I want you to do, or here's something I want you to say. And I'm like, are you sure about that, God? Because that doesn't really make any sense in this context. You know, I'm not sure that this person needs to hear that word. They probably need something else, or whatever it is. But do we need to know everything? We don't need to know everything. Cook shares another story, and I've shared this before, but it really emphasizes the point, where he was in a church in England, and they were praying for a missionary, a lady who was going to be sent to China. And so she was one of the ones who was chosen to go and help with a mission out in China. So they gathered the church around to pray for her. And they're in this prayer meeting, and everyone's got a word, and people are praying for her, and she's you know, getting fired up and getting ready to go and be a missionary. And so it comes around, and it's a bit of a stall in the prayer meeting. And God tells Cook, he says, tell her, I hate mummies and daddies. That's all God said. Tell her, I hate mummies and daddies. So he's praying and he doesn't say it. So it's a stall. And he's like, God, are you sure? That doesn't make any sense. Like, I don't think I can say those words to her. And of course, it's getting a bit awkward. And the pastor's like, I feel like there's another word out there. The guy's leading the meeting. He's like, oh, okay. And he says to her, he says, God, lady, I just feel like God wants to tell you, I hate mummies and daddies. And he said, in a moment, her face fell, and she got up, and she ran for him to attack him. And some other people held her back, and then they were able to pray for her. And she was completely healed. And what had happened is, as a child, she was abused. And her grandparent who abused her, he would call her mummies and daddies. And so that word released in her what she needed at the moment to be completely set free. But it was through obedience to God's word. It was through obedience to Graham Cook just saying, okay, God, I'm going to say it. Doesn't make any sense, but it doesn't have to. God's word released freedom for that lady in a way that nothing else would in the moment. I just want to encourage you with that. You hear it sound, but you don't know where it's coming from, and we don't know where it's going to. Be obedient. Sometimes we can take our time counting the cost, and we can lose the moment. Jesus said, count the cost, but he didn't say keep on counting every single moment. He said, count the cost. When you become a Christian, it's going to cost you everything. And then you'll make some decisions along the way that will be, you know, you'll recognize this over time. But he wants us to come to a point where we just feel the wind moving and go in its direction and not stall so much, not hang on to everything. Count the cost. And then say, Lord, whatever it costs, I want to do it. And he was gracious here, and he gave him a second chance and released the power of God. Last story. John G. Lake. This is a guy named John G. Lake. He opened the healing rooms in Spokane. One day, I stood at a railway station in Logansport, Indiana. I was waiting for my train. I observed a group of Italian men, apparently laborers, sitting on a bench. They were going out somewhere to work. As I walked up and down the platform, I said, oh God, how much I would like to be able to talk to these men about the living Christ and his power to save. And the Spirit said, you can. So I stepped over to them, and as I approached them, I observed myself commencing to speak in a foreign language. I addressed one of the group, and he instantly answered me in Italian. I asked where he was from, and he replied, Naples. For 15 minutes, God let me tell the truth of Christ and the power of God to that group of Italian laborers in Italian, a language I had no knowledge of. Just picture yourself in that situation. Okay? The Holy Spirit said you can. John G. Lake was there at that time. He said, God, I want to talk to those people, but they speak a different language. The wind was blowing, the Spirit was moving, and he said, you can. So, I mean, John G. Lake was a bold guy, but I know if God told me that, like, are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure? As you're approaching, right? We do that sometimes. But the point is to go. As the Spirit directs, go. It's not always going to be easy. You're not always going to know where he's coming from or where he's going. But I do think when we get to heaven, we'll see a picture of almost the threads of our life and how they've interacted with others. And we'll be able to see the impacts we've had through just simple obedience. Simple obedience. We won't always see it here on earth. But as the Lord directs, that is how the kingdom of God advances. That is the way. That's his design. He doesn't want us to look out and see the problems and go get involved in all of these social causes. He wants us to listen to his Spirit and just be obedient to what he has for us. Simply. Simply. The last part of the verse. It said, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you don't know where it's coming from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Philip and Paul were people, just like you. Elijah was a man, just like us. Smith Wigglesworth, John G. Lake, and Graham Cook are all people. They're all humans, just like us. Sometimes I think we set aside in our minds these almost set of Christians, and then there's everybody else. There's those that books are written about, and then there's the rest of us. Right? That's not God's desire. That's not God's desire. It doesn't say, so it is with everyone of a certain class of Christianity. Or so it is with everyone that they write books about. It says, so it is with everyone. Everyone. And every one of you here this morning is an everyone. You're all part of that. That's God's desire. That's God's design. And that's his plan. These people had gifts and callings from God. No question. They had words of knowledge, prophecy, these different gifts that were released, healing. But it was only in obedience with God. And as they had their gifts from God, you, each one of you, has your gifts from God. 1 Corinthians 12 says, the Spirit gives gifts to each one as he wills it. Again, there's that each one. There's that everyone. Not just Smith. Not just John. But Lisa. Daniel. Everybody. Each one of us. Each one of us. And this is how the kingdom of God advances. This is God's plan. To see the kingdom advance. Is each one filled with the Spirit. Hearing his voice. Being obedient to God because he sees everything. He sees how all those threads are going to interlink. And he directs us as we should go. Do you feel like it's time to let go of the branch a little bit in our lives? When I read this verse and I hear those stories, I can see sometimes I'm just holding on to that branch a little bit. And I think sometimes we can do that in Christianity. We can study the wind, right? We can watch the wind. We can go stand on a hilltop somewhere and there's wind going on over there and it looks amazing. God, thank you for what's going on over there. Right? And we can study books about it. We can read John G. Lake's books. But God desires us to live in the wind. Us to just be directed by the Holy Spirit. Not solely to watch others, to be encouraged by others and go apply it to our own lives. And be obedient to what he's called us to. A couple weeks ago in prayer meeting, we were just wrapping up. And it was on a Wednesday night. And Anne, she said, everybody stop. I feel like I'm going to be disobedient if I don't pray for Tina. Remember that. Or if I don't sing this song. God had given her a prophetic song for Tina. And it was probably one of the most beautiful songs I've ever heard. In the moment. And I say that to bring it from the context of these people we read about, Smith and John, to our own context. That's what it looks like. That's what this verse looks like. It's people just being directed by the Holy Spirit, releasing their gifts, bringing about a release by the Holy Spirit into that person's life. The power of God impacting lives. That's what it's about. That's how the kingdom of God is going to advance. And that's how he wants us to do it. just to finish. Sometimes we can look out at the impossibles there. We can read the news. And we can just, it looks bleak. And it does look bleak. If you read the newspaper right now today, it looks bleak. It just does. They're not going to talk about where the kingdom of God is advancing. They're going to talk about what's not, right? All these sensational things. But I want you to remember that you're not responsible for addressing the needs of the world. We're not responsible as Christians for addressing the needs of the world. But we know someone who is. Sometimes we can get all caught up in good manner of things. And they seem like good things that we can spend our time on. We can almost, you know, get really invested in, emotionally invested, all of these different things. But it's not God. Our role, our responsibility is to hear the sound of the wind, the voice of the Holy Spirit, and allow ourselves to be carried by Him. And that will impact the world. That will bring about change. That will be something that people notice, because the spiritual condition of the city is changing, of your neighborhood is changing, of your family is changing. It's by us just allowing ourselves to let go.